So what's going on at the moment? Can anybody tell me? Yes, Molly? The Olympic Games. Anybody see the opening ceremony? You saw it, Ashley. What did you think? Yeah, we like that bit. Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? And that was a real surprise. I thought, am I really watching this? Is this really James Bond and our Queen? But that was her stage debut, I believe, you know, and she did quite well, didn't she? And it was a sort of social history of our country, quite positively, and perhaps less positively, we might say, you know, celebrated popular culture in this country in the last 50 years. So what's the Olympics all about? Ashley. That's right, he kept trying to win the bike race. This was yesterday, it was a bit disappointing. Our fellow, everybody expecting, there was the Prime Minister there, the Mayor of London, the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, and all sorts of other important figures there in the Mall, plus five deep they were. And I was in London last week, I saw all the flags, it looked absolutely fantastic. There they were, expecting our chap to come in and win the gold medal. Nowhere to be seen, was he? But there you go, disappointed. And he was very disappointed when the reporter asked him a question I saw last night. He sort of snapped back at him, so understandably disappointed. So what other sorts of things do they have in the Olympic Games? Yes, Molly?
Gymnastics.
And we know about gymnastics because my two younger children do gymnastics. So we've been watching that, and they've got some big muscles, haven't they, these fellows anyway. And what else is there?
Holding the torch,
we've now lit the torch, haven't we? And it was in there, and we were wondering, are they going to be able to move this from the centre of the athletics stadium? But they are, they assure us. And there's races, aren't there? There are lots of races. You can go in a boat, you can go on a bike, you can run, all sorts of races. And there's lots of fighting as well, isn't there? There's boxing and judo and fencing and taekwondo and so on. So that's what's going on. And what could go wrong in the Olympic Games? Go on. Somebody could get hurt, they surely could, and I'm sure we're going to see that. Somebody came off their bike yesterday, didn't they?
The weather
could be lousy, probably will be, won't it? It's been good so far, but we wouldn't be surprised if it rained, would we? It might suit the English, the British athletes. What else could go wrong? Could somebody cheat, do you think? They could, couldn't they? And they have drug testing and dope testing. I think they test the urine samples and all the rest of it. Yes, Ashley? Right, okay, and you imagine he might win that, yeah, okay. So anyway, we've got potential to cheat, and famously, there have been these sort of warm-up programs on the telly, and famously, in the 100 metres, the blue ribbon event of the whole of the Olympic Games in 19, whatever it was, 88 or in the early 90s, a chap called Ben Johnson took steroids and he won the 100 metres, and a few days later, his gold medal was taken away. Okay, and the Apostle Paul says these words, you see, they knew about athletic endeavours even back in biblical times, because he said, writing to a younger man, Timothy, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Okay, so they understood that people might cheat even in those days. And towards the end of his life, Paul said to Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, okay? And he explains that he's preached the word, he's conducted all aspects of his ministry to the best of his ability, he's endured hardship, he's put up with all of the insults, the condemnation, the ridicule of other people, the persecution and so on, and he's continued in all aspects of ministry, evangelism and so on. And yet whilst he was doing that, he says in his letter to Timothy, that other people didn't want to continue to learn sound doctrine. They didn't want to listen to the Bible being taught properly and sensibly and so on. But they wanted to gather around them teachers who would tell them what their itching ears wanted to hear. Now, does anybody know what that might mean? They've got itching ears, it says. Well, they didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to hear about judgment. They didn't want to hear about the warnings that the Bible has had. it sort of means that they only wanted to hear the positive scriptures. They only wanted to hear what God could do for them. They weren't interested in learning what the Bible and what God was really all about. Okay, and we might think of a very sad example at this time of a man who was a very famous and well-known Christian in this country, perhaps one of the best-known Christians in this country, or professing Christians, who is an athlete. Does anybody know who that is that I'm talking about? Not all that long ago, he did the hop, skip and the jump. They called it the triple jump. Yeah. Jonathan Edwards. Okay, now this isn't to be mistaken for the great theologian, America's greatest ever theologian, Jonathan Edwards. He lived a couple of hundred years ago, and I'm not certain that he was any good at the triple jump, right? But he used to do horse riding. But the Jonathan Edwards that I'm talking about was a professing Christian, and right at the beginning of his career, he said that he wouldn't race or wouldn't compete on a Sunday. But a couple of years later, he said, well, this is a God-given gift. I will compete on a Sunday. And then he did quite well in his career, world record, I think, which still stands, and he was the Olympic champion. But after he gave up athletics, he also gave up his Christian faith. He said that I'd never really thought about it. His dad was a vicar, and he was never really sure and hadn't really thought it through, and said, actually, if you stop and think about it, it doesn't make much sense. I'm not going to believe in Christianity. And whilst in the old days, we might have thought, here's a great example of a Christian, we'll sort of say he's on our side. Now the other side say he's now an agnostic or an atheist and doesn't believe the Bible anymore. Okay, and perhaps he wasn't being taught sound doctrine in the first place. So what's it all about for us? What can we learn for all this, right? And so I've got a final little heading, which is doing our best. Now, we don't become Christians by doing our best. Okay, and it's very important to know that. We do not become Christians by doing our best. We become Christians when we realize that our best is not good enough. Okay, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one whose best was good enough. He was a perfect man as well as being God himself. Okay, and so we have to understand that it's when we repent and understand that we're sinners and that we believe that Jesus died for us personally, that we become Christians. But once we're Christians, we do our best. Okay, and the Bible tells us, Paul tells us in Timothy, that physical training has got some benefits, but growing in godliness has great gain, both for now and for all eternity. So it's more important, in other words, than getting fit. That's a good thing. It's a good idea, though. It's a much better idea to concentrate on godliness. And what we mean there is that we need to stop doing the things that we know are wrong, do more of the things that we know are right, to follow God's commandments, and to live out our Christian life as seriously and conscientiously as we can. Okay? And when we've done our training, we've turned up, you know, perhaps we come to Bible studies, we listen to the word being preached, we pray, we do these things, these what we call the means of grace, so that we can learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and become more like him. And when we've done our training, we're doing that, we run the race, and we run the race to the best of our ability. And when you're running a race, one bit of advice, not particularly athletic, but one bit of advice, don't look over your shoulder, okay? Because I was in the dad's race once at my daughter's school, and I didn't really want to, but my brother did. He gave me a tip. He said, when you go there in your sandals, take a pair of trainers in your head, because you'll slip over in you. And I wasn't going to do this, because I looked around at the guys, and they were about 10 years younger than me, about a foot taller, and they looked like they'd been training for this dad's race. And I was sitting in my deck chair and thinking, I'm not going anywhere near that. And they sort of pulled me up, said, come on, we need another one. And I didn't have time to change out of my sandals. And I was there on this starting line, and I looked around, I went alone, you know, like this. And I ran off, looking at the competition, and I slipped over after about 10 seconds. And I had blood all down my knees, and they'd finished about 10 minutes before me. This is a true story. So don't look over your shoulder. Focus on the finishing line and what God's going to say when we get to heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. It's God that will deal with those obstacles. Don't worry about them, what people will say to you or anything like that. Just trust him, and it will be well with you.